Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Let's head down to Madison County, Roxana, Illinois, home of the Shells. And their head basketball coach and athletic director is Mark Briggs. We talked to him earlier this school year. Of course, a lot of talk as it relates to the pandemic, and the question remains, when are we going to play? How are we going to play? What does the calendar look like? And I know that's something that you have considered and addressed and are looking at, Mark Briggs, and best case scenario, hoping that we can put something together in early January and get all the sports played here in this school year. Is that right?
That's right. I appreciate you having me back on. You know, it's been a roller coaster ride for a lot of us, not only just, you know, ADs, coaches, but parents, kids. And we're just hopeful that 2021 brings some good news to us. And I spent some time again just trying to, you know, in my mind is some mental therapy, just trying to figure out how to get our kids some opportunities here. And the biggest challenge at this point, without any flip of seasons in the fall, we're obviously trying to get three seasons in a very short window of time. So I was thinking, you know, how can you get that accomplished and still have some postseason opportunities? So not only for the athletes, but for the IHSA, potentially, if things do improve. I mean, there's obviously some messaging coming out of the CDC that a couple of days ago that is encouraging schools to return back in session. And I would think that messaging there would definitely impact athletics, because right now kids are in school 5 hours a day, sitting less than 6 feet apart because classrooms have 25 kids in them. And the gyms right now can only have one coach, one player. So I'm very hopeful that it may be a conversation starter again that, you know, we can do some different things.
And I think the other thing, too, the news of the vaccine being rolled out and some of those doses arriving in Illinois later this month. You know, when I look at your plan and how the seasons would work, you want to start January 4th, and that would include boys and girls basketball. That would be the winter season, and it would run through March the 6th, and then your spring season would include baseball and softball, and then boys and girls track as well, starting on February 22nd, running through May 1st, and then football would be moved to the summer. That would be April 19th. Practices would start through June the 26th. I know I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of where you would put wrestling in. There's basically three options being considered there. But, you know, the calendar, dealing with the calendar now, you being realistic, you have to have some overlap, right? So there's going to be, it looks like, a two-week overlap when you go from winter to spring and then spring into summer. But that's kind of what we're dealing with now and trying to get these seasons together, right?
That's correct. So, like, the main driving force behind this was, you know, the overlap was important piece, because there are some sports that do not require, should not require the two-week acclimatization period. You know, the only sport that you truly need 2 weeks to prepare for is football, just for the safety factor. Most sports after a week can start sticking their toe in the water and playing some games and get back in the gym and make some adjustments. And I know when I initially did this, that was on my mind, like, we need 2 weeks. And as I thought about it and released this most recent plan, I'm a believer that 1 week's plenty of time. But again, the driving force was, you know, we're high intensity with the winter sports here. If you're talking about basketball, and getting back in the gym, and these kids haven't done anything for months, essentially, and then going straight from that sport. I'm talking from my sport perspective here, and there's a lot of different factors here, because there's a lot of sports that are on the docket. But going to play football, if you're a male athlete and you're playing basketball, you're going right into football season in February. And when we talk about February, the playing conditions are going to be awful. A lot of teams are going to have to practice on their game field because they won't have enough daylight to have a practice. And there's no use of practicing inside for football when you haven't been, you know, you're trying to get ready for your first game. So kids will be forced to be outside in some awful conditions. And school districts are going to have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have their fields resodded that do not have turf. So, you know, I was thinking through this process, and I'm thinking, you go from a, you know, with the winter sports, you get the high intensity. You got the spring sports. If you look at typical spring season, you know, other than soccer and stuff like that, you got, you know, a little bit more of a not as high intensity, as lower intensity, and then get back into summer, which is high intensity with football. But football tends to drive a lot of things, you know, and this is not, again, one size fits all. Everybody's going to have an opinion. I don't have all the answers. What I just want to demonstrate again, though, is this can be done. You mentioned testing. Testing is going to be much better in January. And up the road here from Roxana, Civic Memorial, they are doing rapid testing in the new year for athletes and their students. Roxana High School is definitely open to that. So I think with all those mitigation strategies that could be in play, I think it's possible.
Well, in the, you know, in we all want kids to play. That's the first thing. Kids need to be back playing. How that happens, I don't know yet. You know, that's the end all be all will be from the state saying that you can play, and specifically the concern is the high risk sports, and we're talking about boys and girls basketball, and we're talking about wrestling and football. And IDPH, they don't seem interested in changing the definition of those sports from high risk to a medium risk or lower risk. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people up in our area in the western portion of the state or the northwestern portion of the state. The big question is, you know, where do you put basically a sport like wrestling then? Do you, you know, the ideal situation is you want it with the traditional season of basketball season normally in the winter, but if it can't happen there, does it go into a season where it conflicts with basketball, or excuse me, with baseball and softball, or do you put it into the season where it conflicts with football? And like you said, you don't have all the answers, but that's the debatable issue, is how do you pair up or divide these sports? That's the million-dollar question when we get to January, which is going to be the earliest start for high school sports in Illinois. Best-case scenario right now.
It is. And, you know, I hate to say this, but wrestling is the sport that probably gets the can kicked down the road, you know, and you don't want that to happen. That's why with rapid testing, you think about wrestling, let's just talk about it real quick. I mean, wrestling is one sport. If you're going to contact trace, if you're truly worried about contact tracing and the quarantine period, wrestling, those kids wrestle one-on-one, the same kid in practice every day. It's the same weight class every day. They go in the gym and in competition, they're wrestling the one kid. Or if it's a duel where they have a couple kids, you're going to have minimal contact tracing opposed to a lot of these other sports like football and basketball. I mean, you're talking about trying to contact trace an entire team that varies from 25 kids in the gym all the way to 65 kids on the football field. So, I mean, I recognize football or wrestling is definitely a challenge. There's no doubt about that. But again, those kids need us. I mean, they need us, and you're correct. You know, you don't want to rip up wrestling and just throw it away in the trash can. You want to try to salvage it. And we're in that mode right now. It's not going to be picture perfect. That is the one sport that could overlap with another sport. But all the wrestling people I talk to, you know, by being in the summer too, it's going to be difficult to have that sport survive in the summer. That sport's probably the most challenging sport for any high school athlete to play of all the sports in school. It takes a lot of dedication and discipline. So that can be difficult, you know, but getting kids back into wrestling or any other sport, you know, I talked a lot about a few weeks ago and sent to the IHSA also a proposal for pods here at Roxana. We talked about, can you keep your kids isolated, you know, in a classroom with a teacher and just your team and not cross over and do some different things. There's things that that area districts can choose to do if they choose to do that. But we're in this position now as this. As a parent, if I don't feel like my kid is safe by playing sports, we're in the position that we should have local control of school districts to make our decisions, and our parents make their decisions if they want their student athlete to participate in a sport. I respect the governor's position. I respect IDPH. However, we're in position now. If kids are allowed to go back in school and sit in a classroom for 5 hours, okay, a day with 25 kids and make that decision as a parent to do that, we should have the decision thrown to school districts to make some local control decisions here to have sports happen. Because I have kids going across the river tonight with our parents. They've organized teams and playing in an 80-team tournament over in St. Charles, Missouri, and teams from Colorado And I don't care if you live in the north, if you live in the south or the central part, west part, east part of the state of Illinois, you're going to cross the border and do what you want to do as a parent. You make those decisions. But I think it would be wise for the IDPH to truly evaluate if it's about keeping kids safe, which I know it is. Let's be realistic here and use some common sense, and let's do what's safe for kids, and let our coaches, administrators, and trainers, and nurses really do a nice job of mitigating and keeping our kids as safe as possible.
Yeah, and I hear what you say, and I tend to agree with what you say. You know, it's interesting, you know, when we talk about the ever-evolving issue of getting back to play somehow with high school sports. You know, November was really a crazy month, you know, when you look at this story. And, you know, initially people were so upset with the IHSA when you look back to last spring, and then you look to the fall, and everybody said, well, you need to stand up to Pritzker, and you need to stand up to IDPH. So, you know, the IHSA moves forward in November, right? And they say, well, we're going to play basketball. And then, you know, a day before they announce that, the governor makes the statement about, well, basketball should be played in the spring. You know, and nobody knows what the definition means by what he means by spring. You know, people are trying to determine what he means by that. And then the IHSA comes back and says, well, no, we feel we have mitigations in play, schools do, and they can play, that they can choose and make that decision, all right, you know, to play basketball. So, you know, you look at November 16th, there's, you know, seven or eight schools in Illinois, their school boards say, we're going to play. And then, of course, a couple days later, in that week of November 16th, the IHSA, or the state of Illinois, comes back and says, well, we're going back to Tier 3 mitigations. So basically that puts a stop to everything. But I guess, again, long story short, you know, when we talk about state control of this issue with IDPH and the governor, from my, you know, following of this story in November, you're not going to be able to play in this state until the IDPH says you can play, because school boards, the majority of them, just are not willing to stand up and take on IDPH. And that's the issue we're up against, right? I mean, really, that's what, until the IDPH provides some leeway, we're stuck. I hate to be a driver's head teacher here. We're stuck in neutral, right?
And I agree 100%. And as a school district representative and our superintendent, have conversations with her, and there's no school district that's going to take on that liability. Here's what I'm saying is this. There is no reason why IDPH cannot work with the state's local health department. We have a health department in every county.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you can have it at high risk. Leave basketball at high risk. If that's what basketball truly is, although it became high risk 2 days before the IHSA met, if it's truly high risk, then leave it high risk. But allow school districts with partnerships with the local health departments, because every part of the state is different. Every county is different. Every situation is different. Let that happen. You know, and I'm sorry, but the governor has been elected by the people of the state of Illinois, and he works for the people of the state of Illinois, not just the people, not just the adults. We're talking about kids, mental, social, physical wellness. These kids are locked up in their houses, and they're not allowed to go do anything for months now. It's time for Governor Pritzker with his office and IDPH to come up with some solution, what's best for kids too. I mean, I'm not saying go rogue here. If I just had my kids in the gym and we weren't allowed to play any games at all the whole year, but allowed to practice and check in with my kids and try to help them through some tough situations, I'll take that with no games. But right now, let's think about it. We have one kid, one coach in a gym that might see 5,000 people to 1,000 people, and with masks on, and that's your limitation. But you can go to class and sit in a room with, like I said earlier, 20, 25 kids for 5 hours a day. It's not adding up. Doesn't make sense. It's becoming frustrating for parents. And I feel like those people need to come to the table, and they haven't had that opportunity apparently yet. But I love what Mr. Anderson's doing. I love support the IHSA. Overall, it's a tough situation for all parties involved, but there's a bigger picture here. And a lot of states around us, let's face it, they're bringing their governors to the table with their local or state health departments and all the people in play, and they're finding ways to get something done. And we need to do that here in Illinois.
Yeah, and that's, again, that is the boiling point, is tell us where we need to be in order to play. Will you please tell us what that is? And nobody knows what that answer is. And then even the issue of what the definition of a high-risk sport is, where the National Federation says, basketball is a medium-risk sport, and then all of a sudden here in the youth sports guidelines from IDPH, one day they say, well, no, it's going to go to a high-risk sport. And then people trying to dissect how that jump is made, and then trying to dissect, well, how can we go back to it being a medium risk sport and maybe have a chance to play? But here's what I'm going to say, is we have to have these discussions with the calendar, and try to figure out what we're going to do. Now, we can debate this, and people can, look at your plan here, your outline, and they can pick it apart or whatever, and that's fine. But we have to have these discussions, and we have to have a lot of these type of discussions, and we have to have, and I know it's a tough position for ADs and coaches. I've talked to them ad nauseum about the scheduling issues and getting referees and making these things work, and then even from an IHSA standpoint with the moving pieces that you're dealing with, trying to get back to play. But in my opinion, you have to have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, through plan C and then back to plan A, A, B, B, C, C. I mean, and that's, because we're up against the calendar, and when we switch to 2021 and we see what we're talking to you on the 24th, so I don't see much happening in terms of the state giving the IHSA some kind of indication if you're going to play. So I think we're going to be, for 27 days, still basically in the same position as we get to the new year. But again, you just have to have these ideas and concepts in place to try and figure out how you're going to get all these sports to be played from January through June or early July. So we have to have a lot of these discussions here, over the next 24 days, right?
Well, yes and no. So you're 100% right on all the rationale there you throw out. But here's where we are today. We're on plan Z, okay?
Yeah.
We're on Z right now, and here's what Z looks like. We need to know what the possibility might be of when we could start the winter season with those sports in play. And if those sports don't start, and they got to be delayed, delayed, delayed. As they're delayed, you're losing more and more opportunities, more and more games. And that season, unfortunately, talking to a dad, the head basketball coach at Roxana, and I am the AD, that sport's got to be canceled. It's we tried. I mean, we don't want that to happen. Neither did the spring sports. They didn't want that to happen. But now it's time to focus at that point on 2021 spring. How are we going to get those sports going? We can't make kids, like, here's a problem. And you're a father, me being a father, I don't want my kid to have to be a basketball player and a baseball player and worry about who to make happy or not happy. We're going to talk about baseball. You got two games a week most of the time, sometimes three, okay? You got basketball, two games a week. When are they going to practice? How are parents going to juggle that schedule? You can't have kids playing two sports at the same time, not in a 2A or 1A school. You might be able to pull it off in some 3As and a lot of 4As, but let's just be realistic here. It's plan Z. Let's do it. If we can't do it, then we're going to go ahead and cancel it. It's going to be a shame, and I'm going to cry a lot of tears for my kids, and it's going to be painful. But we're at that point, and that's really hard for me to say. I've got the best team that I've ever had in 20 years as a head basketball coach at Roxana, and here we are. But that's the reality. That's the reality. Our kids are going through lots of adversity, and so is the IHSA, or so are parents. But it's time to make that decision and move on. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I know the other thing that was interesting, I was talking, and I talked to Coach Briggs here from Roxana. He's the boys basketball coach there and the athletic director. And, the the one thing that I'm happy, you brought up the rapid testing, seeing that opportunity, but seeing some more positive information as it relates to the vaccine rollout and getting it, getting the distribution of it, and you know, healthcare workers are going to get it first, and those people with underlying high risk health issues. And then I think you brought up a good point. You sent me a private message. You know, the teachers and students should probably be next in line to get it, because, you know, they're trying to be in school all day, both teachers and students, and they probably should be next in line. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly, you know, educators and students have the opportunity to get the vaccine. Now, hopefully that's something that can happen in January, and then you really feel good about there being some progress from a state Department of Public Health standpoint that keeps talking about mitigation, and the ultimate mitigation is the vaccine. So I've told people, if there is serious progress on the distribution of the vaccine, I think we have a good opportunity to play. Now, if that I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm just saying, if the distribution occurs and more people in Illinois can get vaccinated, including teachers and students, then I think there's a good opportunity. That's the ultimate mitigation they're looking for.
I agree. And, you know, we had a couple studies. I mean, Mr. Anderson sent something out about contact tracing here in COVID, just the cases we've had here at school. And what we found, we had zero COVID cases related to athletics. We're talking about kids riding on a bus all fall doing certain things, and all the sports we had in the fall, zero transmission. And you look at the Wisconsin study that was extensive from their fall season, and I don't know exactly what the percentage was, but it's awfully high, way, way high. You know, I want to say in the 80s-90s% that they have not seen an outbreak through athletics. And when you talk about vaccines and better treatments and rapid testing, we practiced basketball for a month and a half here at Roxana, and I know the numbers weren't as crazy high as they ended up getting there in November and here in early December, but you know, we had zero cases here from that. We didn't shut the gym down once. Now, I know we're lucky, there's a lot of places that don't have those opportunities, but here's again, we at least deserve, as we are, I've been in this field for a long time, 20 years. Our principal has been doing it for 20 years. Our nurses have been here, most of them, for 15 years. Our superintendent has been in education her whole life. Why not give us an opportunity to keep track of our kids? Okay, because other states are doing it. I hate to say that, but they are. And that's what's frustrating for Illinois residents and students and everybody that's here. Is we're watching that happen around us, and we're wondering, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah, and yes, yeah, I was talking to one of my radio friends today, and I told him last night I was on my, you know, I was on social media, and I saw a reporter over in the Iowa Quad Cities across the Mississippi River tweet out he was at a dual wrestling meet last night, you know, maybe 25 miles from where I live across the Mississippi River. And I said to this radio guy I do work with here in Illinois, I said, you know, that made me feel like, what planet am I on right now? Because right. You've just been beaten down so much here in Illinois about the opportunity of playing. And you look at a sport like wrestling where, you know, we all have our interests of what we want to play, but you think, man, how's wrestling ever going to happen in Illinois? And then you look across the river, they're wrestling last night in Iowa. And that's the other part. You talked about border states, and that's the other issue that is so frustrating for everybody. And that's why when I, in the, how the pandemic evolves, it would be easier to accept this if all states, in terms of interscholastic athletics, were operating under the same rules. And you could accept it a little bit more in Illinois if you weren't playing, but teams in Missouri weren't playing, teams in Iowa weren't playing, teams in Kentucky weren't playing, Indiana, Wisconsin, all of our border states. You could accept that. But that's not the case. And that's where people are really frustrated, right, of seeing all that go on in other states.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, it would be probably unjust to say that those other states don't care about their kids. That's not true. those other states love their kids as much as the state of Illinois loves their kids. You know, do we have, you know, we have our scientists here that work closely with the governor, but are those scientists in other states? I mean, I'm just speaking from a parent now, take my AD hat off. And I'm like, do those scientists have, how are they different? I mean, there is a lot of inconsistencies. And the thing is, there's not been much clarification. And I think that comes not from the IHSA. I know the IHSA takes a lot of heat. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want Craig's job. I truly would not. I mean, as easy as it is for me sitting in an armchair quarterback position, and you get to do that daily too, and it's fun to talk about this stuff, but to be quite honest with you, it's not a whole lot of fun anymore. Yeah. I'm really tired of talking about it. I want some action. I want some rationale behind that action, and we can all take it on the chin. If we're not playing sports, and just tell us we're not playing sports in the winter, tell us to move on so we can focus on our next set of athletes that we participate in the spring.
Amen, brother. All right. So one final thing. Then just you put this plan out, and we'll tweet out the kind of the outline you have, or it's kind of an Excel spreadsheet of how the seasons are put together here, if we can start rolling in early January. What kind of reaction have you received from this plan so far?
Well, I did email to the IHSA, and they did respond back and said it definitely had some merit to it and some points that'd be worth discussing with their board. Coaches have given a lot of great feedback. The thing about it is people are just tired of things being moved around. But I just tried to take into account try to restore some sense of normalcy. I mean, baseball and softball and girls soccer is traditionally played in the spring, so why not just keep it there? And football, we know how destructive that sport's going to be to fields. Not only that, but injuries. I think there's not enough focus on, I think when you start spending some time focusing on football being played in February and early March, you're talking about grounds that are unfreezing every day and trying to get traction, trying to make tackles, and not every kid's a tremendous Division I, Division II, or a college athlete. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know that we were thinking about that when we originally plugged these seasons, but, you know, with football being potentially a candidate to be moved, it does shuffle some stuff around. And boys and girls soccer, they have to continue to stay separated for field usage. So when you guys look at the plan online, you're going to see lots of things in there. You might say, well, why were you doing this? I just tried to take my 20 years experience as a coach and what would look best for a percentage of coaches and people in the state of Illinois.
Yep. And that's all you can do. And as he mentioned, girls soccer would be played in the spring under this plan, which would start February the 22nd with practices, March 8th with games, and then the end date would be May 1st. And then girls volleyball would start in the summer schedule, April 19th, practice May 3rd, games, season ending June 26th. And then that's where the boys soccer season would be, as well as football. And again, we'll tweet that information out. And we appreciate Mark Briggs going to work and looking at stuff like this. He's the basketball coach at Roxana, and that pains me when he talks about the great team he has this year, and hopefully those kids can play down at Roxana, home of the Shells. And Mr. Briggs also the athletic director. So this is the second time that I talked to you. So if the third time I talked to you, I'm going to give you a guarantee here. The third time I talk to you, Coach Briggs, I'll make it a guarantee, we'll be playing.
That's right. We'll be playing and maybe talking about our kids and our season. That'd be awesome.
Amen. All right. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you. Mark Briggs is the athletic director and boys basketball coach, Roxana High School down in Madison County. I'm Jim Taylor on WRMJ.